But at best, if they do have the word, they've misinterpreted. But that's why it's so, you know, outside of the bride, you're done. You know, and unless you happen to run across somebody that's in the bride, or maybe you might be one of the other groups, woo boy, you're in bad shape. But I was just reading, I almost fell out of my chair because I was thinking, wow, the timing on that was, you know, it just backs up what Brother Jeremiah said Sunday. And I just take that to heart. Amen.
To me, and I didn't testify last time. I was holding it in because I don't want to act like I appreciate everything that God does for me, and every time I testify I mean it from my heart. Amen. But Doug and I celebrated 24 years of marriage this week. All right. And that's huge. I've never had a relationship that's lasted that long, obviously, is more than half of my life. And I just appreciate that. If it wasn't for this church, God, the Word, we wouldn't, you know, who knows what would happen. So my daughter, I don't know if you guys remember, but I want to bring her before you. Her eye has been acting up again, and she goes to the doctor tomorrow. It's fine, absolutely. And I told her that today. I gave her part of my prayer cloth that I have had, and I just piece it out when I feel led to. But just told her that she just has people to meet. She doesn't understand. But whoever touches her is touching me. And, you know, I told her it's just something simple. There's just symptoms, and it doesn't mean anything. And we're not claiming one single thing. So next time I come, I'm going to give you guys a...
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Let's sing 31 and the Only Believe. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to get up and give a praise report. I don't know if all of you remember, when I was taking my sister to her cancer place, there was another woman I met. She had been a childhood friend. Well, she texted me yesterday, and she said, "I just want you to tell the church, thank you, I'm cancer-free." And I just appreciate that. She had the same kind of cancer that Denise had. And I just thank God that he healed her. And I just was thinking, too, this morning I was cleaning, and I was thinking about, and we know. And we know. And there's so much in that. Because that's the revelation, that we know that we're going to get a body change. We know that the dead in Christ are going to rise. Yeah. We know Amen. That the quickening power is in us. We know who we are. And I just thank God that I know. And that's just what's on my heart.
Amen. Standing on the promises. 31, the only belief. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. Well, it's good to be here. Just remember the announcements. There's a lot of them. There's a picnic coming up, wedding. A lot of things going on, so be paying attention to that.
Amen.
I like what Jeremiah said Sunday.
Yes.
About don't give devil too much credit. Don't be saying you're nervous all the time.
You don't deserve it.
I feel like he was talking to me. But I'm only nervous because I know this is important.
Yes.
And I want to do a good job. I'm not nervous because I don't have something to say or
whatever.
I'm giving God credit. So I'm happy to be here. Go ahead, sis.
I don't want to leave it all on you. I have something to say. Yeah. God's been good. I walked in the church, and I thank God for this church.
Yes.
Because when I walked up the door, one of the brothers said, you know, come here excited. I was excited. But, you know, I'm like, you brothers are bringing it. I'm going to bring it too. God's been good to me. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
God's been good. And when I walked into the church, I see these young people that when my kids were small, they were holding these children. And I know I've been here a long time. My sword, my stake is driven.
That's right.
And I love this word. Yeah. This
Amen.
Word has been nothing but wonderful. Amen. It showed me how God is good. He's taken me through many things, and I have nothing to say, but God is still good. I thank God for y'all brothers. Y'all fed me last night, and I'm going to share a little bit of what I got. Okay, so let me just get on in here. Now, brother, the first brother that got up, y'all remember what he said, but the bottom line is what I got out of it. He said, listen to God. He told me to put your ideas, don't put your ideas on things. They mess things up.
Right.
You know,
right.
Think about what God told you to do.
Amen.
Don't put yourself in there. He also told me, and I thank God for it, he says, speak God's mind.
Right.
What has God told us to do?
Right.
Walk
right.
in that.
Yes.
So moving
Amen.
On,
Amen.
He also said, help the body.
Yes.
Speak body things in Christ. Humble your spirit down.
Right.
And I
right.
said, okay, moving on. Let's move on to the next brother. The next brother that got up, God bless him because he spoke God to me.
Amen.
He told me faith is perfect. He
yes.
told me that I don't have to. He said, how does, let me look at my notes good here now. God is real. He told me that. He told me also that with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
He says faith is required.
Yes.
So I said again, you must believe. What's the word say about faith? Without the faces of things hoped for, the evidence of things not
right,
seen.
Right, right.
Moving on, because we not be before you alone. We're going on to the next brother.
Take your time.
Okay, Brother Belvo. God bless Brother Belvo. Amen. Talking about identification, that brother got up, and he just blessed me. All them brothers blessed me. It made me cry. I just said, God is so good. He said, Brother Branham has the book. He told us that the voice is in the bride.
Yes,
he
yes,
said,
sir.
He discussed imposter versus being genuine. We have a genuine body. I
Amen.
Get so
Amen.
Much from each of you. And I see a genuine sincerity here.
Right,
and
right.
it makes me want to be better. Yes. Brother Moore's never told us that, you know, that we're less than. He's
Amen.
Always given me something. When I walk out those doors, I feel strong.
Amen.
I feel like I can go into battle. I can come down here. I can come into this church and I can lay down my sword.
Yes.
I can just go like anything. Just rest. And I don't have to look under anything. That is a beautiful thing, because when you go to these churches out here, they spit all
Come
kind
on.
Of stuff that is not good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let me get on to the next brother. Oh, my God, you guys, there was a lot of brothers up. Oh, my God. Okay, next brother. he says, we're under unmerited love. For God, it talks about going, he said, go to church. He says something about the church ages, and God is love. He said, love allows us to look beyond others' faults. God bless, brother.
Amen.
The next brother, oh, my God, he talks about overcoming.
Yes.
In this life, I've had to overcome myself.
Yes.
I've had to deny my flesh. There's no good thing in the flesh. We all know that. But what's inside, what the soul's being fed. Moving on. that brother Gossel said, excuse me, he talks about my favorite scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that was a wonderful scripture. He talks about knowing who you are allows you to step out on faith. And it blessed me so much, made me cry. I'm moving on. My God, these brothers. Okay, faith is a faith. We discussed faith again and again and again.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about being rugged. He talked about the necessity to have faith. He talked about hope. And I thank God that I have hope here.
Amen.
He talked about it's time to get home. We're going to have a rapture. And God being a revealer of the word. You all know about that. Brother Seth, God bless him, I think he was the last one up. He talked about God is talking to himself. And we do talk one to another. We encourage each other when we come here. And he talked about God wants us to move on, 100% faith in God. He talked about being Sarah and Abraham. He also discussed God being a present tense God. And God in flesh, let me tell you a little bit about God. Let me just end it right here. A lot of times Sister Morris says to me, what's God done for you lately, Sister Belinda? God woke me up this morning. He gave me strength in my body. I'm in my right mind today, sisters and saints. You know, I don't have a mind that's going this way and that way. I'm driven to keep this word first. And I know that's where I get so much more. If it's all about Belinda, God don't know. I want it to be all about God. He is the one that should shine in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Let's sing 87. And only believe. When the roll is called up yonder.
Yes. Who says the sister ain't got nothing to say? Should stir every one of you like that. Think on these things. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. Yonder I'll be there. Oh,
I'll be there. Mold me and make me after thy will.
I need help. Key of F. Me.
Dear God, thank you for your many blessings, for all you've done for us, Lord, the sister's testimony, Lord, giving us a right mind, giving us breath, Lord, giving us peace, giving us this revelation of the hour, a clear understanding. Thank you for all things you're doing, have done, doing for us, and will do for us. And Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way with this service, Lord, and move and continue to speak to us and talk to us and bless us with your words, Lord. We're come to hear from you and see you in action. Have your own way in our lives, Lord. As Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Give me what I need, Lord. I've come with a big cup expecting. Lord, be with the bride around the world. Lord, we ask that you touch Sister Renee's daughter, Lord, and touch her eyes, Lord, and you've done that plenty of times before, Lord, and we don't trust the devil's report. What we trust is God's report. We ask that you have your way. Continue to give James strength in his body, Lord, and get him through his healing process and strengthen him, Lord, and be with him, and ask that you continue to touch Sister Christie's body and trust them for a good doctor's report there too, Lord. By your healing hand, Lord, we trust you. And Sister Keene, Lord, and her brother, and Sister Anna and Brother Trevor, Lord, you know the needs in each and every one here, unspoken and spoken both. Lord, have your way. Thank you for touching Sister Dawn's friend. Lord, you answer sometimes when we'd even forgot what we asked for. You're such a good God, but you haven't forgot anything that's in our heart. And you said, ask what thy will, and it will be given. And Lord, as we get ready to get some of these brothers up, we ask that you have your way. Be with the rest of the service, Lord. Move them out of the way and calm their nerves, Lord, and let them just speak to us. Lord, you speak to us and give us what you want us to have this evening. Be with Pastor Moore and Sister Mel down in South Carolina. Bless their service, Lord. Anoint their service. Lord, have your way there, Lord, and give them what they need and bring them home safely to us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and all the things you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back this evening. Musicians, I'm going to sing one more song before I get the first brother up. Sorry. I should have said that and clarified that. But it's good to be here this evening. There really is no other place I'd rather be. And those that want to be seated can. You're welcome to stand. It's an exciting hour if you want to stand. It's all right to stand too, you know. But there really is no other place I'd rather be. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Brother Dustin's, I've been saying that for a long time. You've been saying that for a long time. And you know what that is? This has been a real change in my life. This hasn't just been a stirring. This hasn't just been a couple services where I'm turned on, a couple services where I got anointed. I heard one service where Brother Moore rebuked me good, and I did it for three services. This has been a real change in my life. You don't have to drag me in here. You don't have to beg me to come in here. I want to be here tonight. This is where I want to go. This is where I plan my day around. This is where I plan my work around. This is where I plan my activities around, because I know I need to eat the Word of God. I need God to give me more word and quicken that word to me and build my faith for a lot of reasons. One, so I can get through the day, everyday life. But secondly, I'm looking to get out of here. I'm looking for just that right switch, that right moment where he tells me what I need to hear to get out of here. So I'm glad to be here tonight. And it's good to see everybody. And we've got a good evening planned before us. And, you know, we've had so many brothers volunteer. And I was telling Brother Moore, and he texted back, he said, we ought to split it in two services. So we've got, I think it's five tonight. If it's not five, it's six, but you'll hear the names here in a minute. And then we got some next week. So it's going to be good. I'm glad we got some volunteers. And this way the brothers can feel like they can take their time too, or not take their time. You know, I don't want that pressure on you, but let God have his way. If it went all the way to 9:30, I don't want you being nervous. It's too late. Just let God have his way. And so the way we're going to do it, I was thinking is, Brother Tevin's going to talk, but he's getting next week, so that's the only name I'm going to slip up on. He's going to be next week now. And I was going to let him lead off, but he had to work tonight, God bless him, and I appreciate him texting me. So I decided that switched it up a little bit on me. What we're going to do is we're going to leave with our Sunday school teacher, Brother Dwayne.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get Brother Chris Loudon up here.
Yes.
We're going to get Brother Mike Peters up here.
Yes.
We got Brother John Jesus back there.
Yes.
And then we're going to finish with Brother Deskins.
Yes.
And let the elder finish it up for us. And then you can get me up. And if there's anything left, I'm just going to close and help you out and whatever. Just enjoy. Actually, when I say help you out, I'm probably going to enjoy what you say to me and be enthused. That's what I'm counting on. And so I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Remember, Brother Moore, in your prayers. And the Sister Moore and Sister Mel, they'll be traveling back tomorrow. Looking forward to a good report from their services, no doubt. They're going to have a good time. And don't forget, we've got music practice for the young people tomorrow. So and we'll send out a message tomorrow just to remind everybody, because we haven't done that in a while. But if you can be here. We're going to practice some more. Looking forward to that too. Picnic coming up, wedding coming up, as Brother Schuyler said. So keep these things in mind. I'm going to sing I Am Blessed. I didn't find the page, but it's the key of G. I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Hey.
It's good to be here tonight, and we really are blessed. You know, I was thinking in the bench, I was like, I love this place. I love the word, I love the people in here, and God has just been so good to us. We're so blessed. And as I was coming in tonight, Brother Click was telling maybe me, maybe others, like, burn the place down. And you know, after last Wednesday night, that's our job, brothers. Those brothers preached, and I'm just thankful to be part of this body. And I'm just going to go through a couple of things and some notes that I got from last Sunday, and so I'm excited just to talk a little bit to the bride. Brother Deskin said last week when he got up and testified, I went back and listened. I got to listen to the testimony service separately because I'm in the back, so I can't always hear it, but Brother Deskin was saying, I am me. I can only be me, and be bold and courageous. And I was thinking for tonight, I can only be Dwayne. You know, I can't be Brother Jim. I can't be anybody else. I've got to be me. And as I'm going to try to bring something forth tonight, I'm proud to be me. You know, because I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. And there's nobody better than that. And then I heard Brother John talk, and he said, come with a thought. He was talking to the elders, and I don't consider myself that. But young brothers, too, come with a thought. Help edify this body. Move it up. And that's my desire tonight. And then Brother Ted said, if you're comfortable, you're not growing. And I was going to tell him, I'm really growing because this isn't comfortable. So anyway, and Brother Jeremiah preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and just a couple of highlights from that for me. he talked about being victorious over the devil. And it was our victory day. And that's exciting because the whole world worries about him. We know we're victorious over him. He's just an adversary. I don't even like to call him by his name. He's of none effect to me. And he talked about that quickening power, that Holy Spirit quickens the word. And that's why we're the living word. You know, we're God made flesh. And I love that. And then at night we talked about it's time to go up. It's rapture time. And making us do our homework. Or do we know the three people in the Old Testament and New Testament of who raptured? Going through Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, the Old Testament saints, the bride. And that got us all excited because that's our story. And as Brother Jeremiah was talking about seeing his loved ones, that was getting me excited. I was thinking about my grandma, my dad. This is real to me. This isn't just talking. This is real to me. And then Moses and Elijah, and that's not even for us. Like, we're here right now, so that's exciting. And then just from Sunday, this I'm just going to go through a couple of things, but it got me excited. It said God was, just a couple of things from Brother Jeremiah. It said God is obligated to his word. Not a single word can fail. The word can't fail. Every promise is ours. Every promise has to come into manifestation. God brings everything to pass. Every promise made is in your possession. The word torments, I like this, the word torments the devil. And I wrote it down, it helps me, the word helps me, but it hurts him. So we need to know the word. And as I was listening to a service by Brother Brandon this week, it's his unfailing words of promise. He used the scripture, Matthew 24 and 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then heaven and earth, those are eternal. He even loves his word more than something that he considers eternal. The word is important. So there's a quote by Brother Branham. It said, no matter how mysterious it seems, God always keeps his word. No matter how unreasonable it may seem, God keeps his word. And if God makes a promise of anything, God will keep that promise. And then on Sunday night, Brother Jeremiah shared 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. And I'm going to read it again because it excites me. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We've done that. Amen. With the voice of the archangel, that's us, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is what my thought I'd like to talk about tonight. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And this is, I said, comfort one another with these words and these promises. And I didn't get a complete answer by Google, but it said anywhere between 5,000 to 8,000 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. And I'm just going to go through a couple of scriptures. That's the word. Those are promises that helped me in my life. And as we go through just a couple of these, I start with John 3:16, because that's the first scripture I remembered as a child. That I used to go to Sunday school, not Sunday school, but Bible school, and they made you memorize that scripture. But you know what? I haven't. No, that's one of the few I know by heart. Because when you put it in them as a child, but it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Exodus 14 and 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Joshua 1 and 9. Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Yes. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Yes. Then we get into John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Romans 8 and 28, y'all know that one. I'm going to go to the next one. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then James 4 and 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then I want to talk about a few more scriptures, but I want to talk about heaven for a little bit. Because it said, comfort one another with these words, these promises, and I put the rapture is real to me. And I want to quote a few of the Son of Man in my life. Brother Moore said this, we only have one thing left on our plate. That's the body change. Getting our loved ones up. That's our job. That's the only thing on the plate. Brother Branham said, "Press on in that perfect love, which I will take you to that beautiful and joyful place beyond the curtain of time. I look forward to seeing them, my loved ones." Brother Childers said, "Heaven is cheap at any price. Whatever we have to go through, it'll be worth it. It's going to be a special place." And then Brother Jeremiah on Sunday night said, "The rapture could happen at any moment." Just a couple of the promises in the Word, Matthew 5:11-12. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." John 4:1-3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto you myself where I am, and ye may be also." And the last one I want to share is Revelation 21:4-5. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And I just wanted to end with, comfort one another with these words and these promises.
Amen. It's good to be here this evening. I like what Brother Jeremiah said, that this is the most important place, most important thing in his life. And I've come to the conclusion that that is also me. God comes first. No doubt about it. I was asked here recently to help coach a baseball team, and the first thing I told the fella was that Sundays, I don't do nothing. Wednesday nights, I don't do nothing. So you can have me the rest of the week. That's what I told him. And, you know, one thing I love about this place is there's no cookie. We're not cookie-cut Christians. Not at all. We don't have, you know, there's no code of rules. Nothing like that. We all come from different backgrounds. Come out, you know, we've come out of some denomination. Most of us have. And I know some of you have grown up in this message. And we're all different. But the one thing that we have in common is that love of the Word of God. The full Word of God. And that's the bottom line. I've just got a little simple thought here this evening. And it's more about me. What God, he gives you the eyes to see and the ear to hear. And over here in Revelation, let's see, where are we at? Revelation 3, we'll start at 18. And this is what the bride has to do in this Laodicean age. I counsel thee to buy up me gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love and rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'm just so thankful that I have an ear to hear, and that my eyes have been anointed by that eye salve. And that all that denominational thinking that I had on me, I'm still dropping it. No doubt about that. And I'll drop it until I get out of here. But, you know, one thing that Brother Branham said, and I don't know what, I don't have the quote. I know what he said, but I don't know what book it was in. But he said that you can't bring anything from denomination over here into the eighth day, because it won't work. You can't bring that here at all. And let's see, I had a some scripture here. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. God's got to call you. I mean, he's got to call you. You got to know that voice and hear that voice and respond to that voice. Let's see. John 9:47. John 9:47. That can't be it. There's no John 9:47. Anyway, we'll go. I don't even know what that one was, but anyway, we'll go to John 3:13, which is a very familiar verse. And I remember when Pastor Moore brought this out. No, I know what that is. It's 6:47. But we'll go to 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So if you don't have any representation, that seed, you got to have something in you. And God gives you that when you at your natural birth. And watches over you until he calls you to the full word of God. You know, you have that angel. There's no doubt. There's been an angel that's watched over me until I got my new birth. There's no doubt about that. Now, 6:47 was the verse I meant. I don't know why I wrote down 9. Was it 6:47? I guess so. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I don't believe that one was the one. But anyway, that's okay. It's okay. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is Romans 8. And like I said, he had to call you. And he is, why can't I find it? Here. Just give me just a moment here. I don't know why I'm having trouble. 29. Yes. He foreknew us, predestinated us, called us, justified us, and glorified us. So the only thing we're looking for is that glorification. That's like Brother Dwayne said. That's the only thing on my plate. The only thing on my plate, the only thing that needs to be revealed to us. And I'll just talk for a little bit. I still enjoy hearing the brothers bring out what they got. It's helped me a lot. God's been dealing with me a lot lately. Amen. And showing me where I need to work on. What I need to do to be a good example to my family, to this world. And I just thank God for that. Because I was rebuked, what was it, 2 Wednesdays ago? Heavily. And I just read the verse. He that he loves, he rebukes and chastens. So I just thank God that I've got my priorities straight. But it wasn't me, it was God. But now I have something to react on. I've got the right choices to make. And like I said, this is the most important place in my life. No doubt about it. The words, this is only words of eternal life, is right here in this local assembly. You know, and I'm just so thankful for what God has done for all of us. I mean, we're going to spend eternity together. You know? And what John said in 1 John, you know, I have nothing against anyone in here. I can't. You're free from sin. We all have flesh. We're all going to be sticky. You know? So there's going to be things I do you don't like, and it might be something that you do I don't like, but it's no big deal. It isn't. It really isn't. And all when it all comes down to it, we all love the Word of God, and that is the only thing that's important. And I appreciate the opportunity to come up and just give you a little bit of what I see and understand. And hopefully I have edified the body, because that was my desire. You know, and I didn't have anything until I woke up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. As soon as I got out of the bed, it was like, you got an ear to hear, and you got eyes to see. And I said, well, I'm going to find some scripture to back that up. I thank God for everything he does for me and everything he does for you. I love you all and appreciate you all.
I'm glad to be here. It's on.
I will help you with this.
Oh, you want me to put that on?
You never know what you might do. You might walk away. God bless you.
I'm glad to be here. There's no place I'd rather be. I am the bride of Jesus Christ. He lives in me, and we're one. And I believe His word 100%. Everything that comes out of God's mouth, I believe. And, you know, I just, I believe God so much. He talks to me all the time. And, you know, I will not play a song on the piano or sing unless God gives it to me. That's an understanding we have. He'll give me it, and then I'll practice it and play it. And it always comes out right. And, you know, I just, I love this message, and God tweaks my desire to make it strong to be here. I'm here because of the Word. I'm here because of God. And He makes that desire so strong, it helps me overcome the flesh and things of the world and everything around me. I'm going to talk a little bit on trust. Definition is a firm belief in the reliability of someone or something, the responsibility resulting from confidence placed in one. There's a total of 66 references of the phrase trust in God in the Bible, and the word trust is found 134 times. So trusting God is believing in His promises, and trust is complete faith in God. And Jeremiah 17:7-8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Verse 8, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You know, I bear fruit because I trust God. As it seems like trust and faith are so close together. I mean, they have almost the same definition. The only difference I can see is faith God gives you. And trust, I guess you learn it. And, you know, when I first came here and I started believing the message, I really didn't trust God like I should at the beginning. But as I went through tribulations, as I went through sickness, as I went through all that I've been through, I started trusting God. He started showing me that His word is the truth and that He can't lie, and I can take it to the bank on what He says. And I put my confidence in Him, in His word. And I stand on that word, and I don't move because I'm stubborn that way. I'm like a pit bull with a bone. You know, I will stand on the word of God till He tells me yes or no, and I won't move until He does. And you know, trust. When I was in the hospital in 2003. I had a massive heart attack and died twice. I was laying there, and God spoke to me. He says, who are you going to trust, me or man? And I started thinking, well, man doesn't have the answers. He can only go so far in helping me. But God has all the answers, and He's the master physician and healer. So I think I'll trust Him. And all my fear left, all my anxiety left. I wasn't afraid to die anymore when I put my trust in Him. And I've been through tribulation after tribulation, and so has most of you. But I've learned to trust God through each and one. He answers my prayers. I trust Him even more. He opens a door and helps me escape, and I trust Him more. And, you know, and I don't think you can get too much trust. I think you just keep growing and growing. And that's all I got to say about trust.
It's been a while since I've been up here. Long while. But the revelation still goes on. There is a lot. I'm not a preacher. But well, God's honor and glory. God has done a lot. And I didn't know where to start. Or how to end it. It's just so much, and God had to put this thing the way He wanted. I can do nothing. See, it all has to be done by inspiration. What I've learned in this church is it's done by inspiration. You know what I mean? You got to go through something. God will put you through stuff, but it's just for the perfecting. God told me for my perfecting, because I've learned discipline, and in a way, like, it's not what you think, but okay, Lord, bring glory to your name. In Proverbs 20:24. He starts with, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? You know, I thank God for the revelation and how I get it. It's not always joyful, and it's not. But I thank God because His word stands true. You know, and no matter what I'm going through, I come in this church. I'm usually, you know, you guys don't usually see me, but I'm usually the last one here and the first one to leave, you know. But you guys don't see me, but I get my word. I make it a point to get my word. Even if I'm not here, I'm still here. I still get my word. But there's a lot of things I didn't understand. It's been a year and a half since I even spoke. That's a long time. Long time. But then there's some things I didn't understand. See, I got to relate. You know, we have a revelation and we have your understanding. Beginning to the end. Past, present, future. You know? And that's all good and dandy, you know, that's all good. But until God makes it real, you know, He's the only revealer of His word. So it says here, man's going to love the Lord. How then can a man understand his ways? I had to come to where God says the steps, our steps are ordered. Okay. And if that's so, then I got to humble myself and yield to that. You see, I can run and speak and do all I want and speak. But unless God moves, I can't do nothing. I just can't. It's not possible. Last year, I lost my job. Got into a fight. Got some broken ribs. Lost. And even though I was speaking God's word and God turned it around, you know, He didn't. It just got worse and worse and worse. And that was cool. Like, why? Because God meets me on the road. See, we get a revelation. The word here carries me on. It carries me through. But God got to reveal it. If my goings are of the Lord, I can't understand it. I got to yield. I didn't learn how to yield because I didn't learn how to yield to God's word. Because doing my own thing. Because I was doing my own thing. But the revelation still stays. It still doesn't change who I am, where I'm going, or what's to come. I just like to share, God is the revealer of His word. Last year, I lost mom, lost my job, broken ribs, lost mom. Ended up back on drugs and stuff, and Like, I lost my way. I really did. Like, I can't be fake here. I can't make this up. I got to be real. You can't make this up. This is not something you make up. This is something that's revealed by God and God alone, a personal relationship between you and Him, making it real. So when the trials and tribulations come, you know to stand, how to stand, and holding on to that word. Because sometimes that's all you have to God reveal or to God shows you. In John 16, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to go through this. In John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, which I will. For he will receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. He is the only revealer. I learned going through my thing. You would think I fall away from God. I thought I fall away from God because I haven't questioned God. Like, what am I doing wrong? What's this? But then God was teaching me something. See, God was trying to show me something. See, I didn't see it through the trial. You know, I was complaining. You know, I was complaining. Why this? Why that? You know, me, I'm single. So, like, with all you guys married, you got kids, wife, like that, you know. God deal with you guys different. Yeah. but for me, it's been a habit that God rips everything from you when he tries to get my attention. I mean, he rips everything. So he gets my attention. So it's just me and him. You know, first revelation, when God met me, I was in prison. And I got that church age book from the reference section out of nowhere. You know, just little things like that. You know, like prison. This time when I lost mom, mom was my go-to person. I went there for everything. When I lost mom, I had nobody. But I've been by myself my whole life. I lost dad when he was 17. I've been on the streets. Everything I had to learn was on my own. I depended on God for everything. You don't understand. Yeah, I need a preacher to hear. But I never had no preacher. So, you know, things came hard. I had to learn the hard way. And I thank God for it too, because it made me what I am. You know, the things of this world, the trials and tribulations of this world, is not to be compared to the things that is in glory. The things that are in glory. When God showed me that when man's going to have the Lord, how then can a man understand his way? Going through my trials, I got this book from my brother. And it's a guide. The brother I got it from, he doesn't really come to church. He's in church and in and out of church. But God told me not to look at him from the outside, because he still dwells in the inside, even though what he does and does things. I want to give God the glory. So now I was mixed up in drugs. Brother came over, seen I had the book, Christ the Mystery. Turned around, asked me if he could have the book. Told me that he had the book, A Guide, 1962, Brother Brenham. And I wanted to know if I wanted to trade. So I traded the book in the midst of doing what I was doing. Traded the book. When I traded the book and then started reading, God gave me this. Man's going to of the Lord, how then can a man understand his own way? In the guide, He says here. Brother Brandon says, he doesn't want you to rely on your own understanding. God does not want you to rely on your own understanding or your thoughts or any man-made thought. God sends a guide. And God wants you to remember that this is his appointed guide. Jesus said, I will not leave you. I will not leave you, but I pray the Father. And he'll send you another comforter. And this comforter, when he come, when he was to come, was to guide us to all truth. And the word of God is truth. The word is Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then if we follow the real true guide, which is the Holy Spirit, he also would tell us what he had seen, what he had heard, and what he was to show us things that is to come. Brother Branham said, there you are. He is going to show you things to come. I needed that. I needed God to show me where I was at, the things to come, and I was going through drug in Hawaii, and mom passing of cancer. I lost dad of cancer. I had to take care of both of them. It brought trauma. It brought past trauma. And it was hurting me. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I had nobody to talk to. I know the bride is here for our needs and stuff, and we always got the bride. But the walks in, but then there's times walks individual. Everybody got our individual walk, and God deals with us accordingly to wherever we're at, according to our faith. But he's also, but he also says here, which I like, he's going to show you things to come. He said, he's going to tell you what you've been, what you've got, and where you're going. Not me. The guide. Who? Holy Ghost. Who? God. God. God only. Nobody else, not your thinking, not your thoughts, not your ideas, not your studying. It's God. See, everything's of the Lord in my life. Everything. Everything is of the Lord in my life. But I went through that. I talked to the pastor and I sent him a message. All of last year was like a wilderness for me. That's how I seen it as. Even though I was in the world, I'm here around people, I'm still in the wilderness. And I was in the wilderness, but in my wilderness, I came out with this guide. Because I was blessed. The guide knows the way. He always goes before me, knows all things. He controls the ins and outs of every circumstances in my life, every bit of it down to the millisecond. All the things of his world, all the things of this world is not worthy to be compared to the things that are in glory. I come back again and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's all I have to look forward to, and I can't wait. I didn't know what 1,000 years was. God told me I'd come back for 1,000 years when I was staring out my window. And I've been in the mental hospital twice. You know, I'm just done with this world. You know, I got suicidal and ended up in the mental hospital 2 times. And the first time was bad. It didn't work out. I came out, I was still struggling, even though I was coming to church. See, on the outside, it don't look like nothing. But I'm going through stuff. We all go through stuff. All of us. But this guide is important. Amen. Really is, because you'd be lost. Yes. See, Brother Branham talked about he was a hunter. I'm a hunter. I hunt pigs, but like not hunting like him. He had to get license and stuff because he became a guide. Right. But when I read this, that he would tell you where you've been, what you've got, where you're going. This is what he gave. I have no control of anything. I didn't ask to be here. God put me here. God got it all ordained from beginning to end. I lose not. I win. No matter what. I win. The trials of this life cannot be compared to watching glory. And watching glory is this. See, the wedding supper, that's one thing. and that's cool to go through the wedding supper and everything. You know, I've heard it preached of being here. But I needed something that God to give me more. So you see, I was struggling, lost my I had properties I lost. There's things that I wanted in this world that I was mad at God about. And I was mad because, you know, you can speak his word, and we're taught to speak the word. But if it doesn't line up with his will, you're just running your mouth. You're running your mouth because ain't nothing going to work. You know what I mean? It has to line up with his will. I don't know what his will is for me. Personally, I know the beginning to the end. But personally, I don't know what it is. But through all last year, I learned discipline. I learned discipline in a way that how to yield more to God, to let it go. Satan this, Satan that, and I hear about Satan. Satan, yeah, God created him. But see, he can't do nothing and he has no power. He couldn't even touch, look at, he has no power. He had to ask permission to touch Job. When Pastor preached that, that's big. Even the guy came, and when he preached that message, you know, God can't, you know, Satan can't do nothing without God's permission. And if Satan does, it's God letting him. It's God letting him. So when God lets him, the way I had to learn how to yield was God took everything from me, girlfriend, job, everything, and left me in a state of turmoil. Now you don't think God would do that to you, but like I said, my walk's different. I'm single. I got nobody. All I have is God. All God have is me. God wanted me for himself. He didn't want to share with me nobody. He didn't want to share with me nobody. He just showed me he wanted me for himself. But I quit on him, cussed him out. I told him I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. Take me home or let me burn. Either way, I want off. And I want it off. I want off this earth. You know? But God had to give me something. Personally, he had to give me something. Something. He had to make himself real to me. God got to, at one point in your walk, God got to make himself real to you at some point. For me, when God revealed himself to me, he said he promised me 1,000 years. I went back and studied that. I called Brother Isaiah and asked Isaiah, have you ever heard Brother Jeremiah, Pastor, or Jay ever preach about the 1,000-year reign? And he said, yeah, I think it was Future Home. But then I read in Future Home, but then they talked, Brother Branham said in the Future Home that the 1,000-year reign is a rest for the bride. Like a rest, like not like nothing like it, like a rest. It was such a rest that what may come, whatever may come, let it come. Because God gave me something right here. He says, in the future home. No, I ain't going to go to the future home first. In the invisible union of the bride. It's a millennial. The 1,000-year rest is a millennial for the bride. The millennial is after the marriage supper. I've learned that. When God revealed to me, it's after the marriage supper. I didn't know what it was, but he said this, an invisible union of the bride. But we are enthused about it, and I am. I'm enthused. See, everything I had to go through in a year and a half, I thank God for it. Because you're like, no, he gets the glory. I win anyway, by default. I just have to come to the end of myself. Like the end of myself. Everything. The end. No girlfriend, no wife, no kids, nothing. Just you and God. Period. Do you know what God can do if one man was sold out? Turn the world upside down. But I ain't wanting to do that. No. Not me. But whatever God chose, my steps are ordered. Can't get away from it. And that's fine. But it says here, in the visual, I'm enthused about it. And we know that the history is closing out, this world, the world's history.
will soon be over. Then we're going to step into a new day, the great millennium, that as one believer, the believer in a millennium reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth. I told you I'd come back. But when I come back, we come back and reign with him. But then there's more to it than just that. He says, step into a new day, the great millennium. A millennium reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth. The physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take physical people glorified by his cleansing blood. That's me. That's me. Then he says, in the millennium, Brother Branham, plainly, on his statement about the millennium, it's a literal 1,000-year time period that is to follow the marriage supper of the raptured saints. It is the rest period to follow the bride for the total redemption of the earth. Thank God, little bride, for God has prepared his wife a natural place of rest when this life is over. Right. See, God took everything and put me in a spot where I don't want it. I told God, you can keep your heaven. That's bold. But when you're at a spot and God puts you in the place, it's either you or him. Something got to die for something to live. Has to preach that. Something. It's usually self. Self. You know, I didn't know how, but God had to discipline me and brought me to how he yielded me to his word. But this natural place that he talks about, in Isaiah 65, he talks about the millennium. What's going to be at the millennium? I don't know. I don't know about it. I don't know nothing about it. God has to reveal. He's the only revealer of his word, guys. Nothing else can help over you. God has to personally make himself real to you like he did me. But that doesn't mean you have to suffer like me. You know? But in Isaiah 65, he talks about the millennium. That we would come down. Here it is. 65:21. In the millennium. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. You hear that? I'm big into real estate. And I was big into wanting to be successful and get properties and go and, you know, I had all these plans. But God said I'd come back for 1,000 years. See, the second time I went into the hospital in suicide prevention, I came out, I was on the right meds. I was looking out my window watching everybody, and God, that's what God spoke and said, you'll come back, look around. He said, you'll come back for 1,000 years. But I didn't know what that meant. But then I learned. In the future home of the groom and bride, Brother Branham said, he's coming back into the wedding supper. It's going to be at a 3.5 day, then return again to the millennium. And the millennium is our honeymoon. It's a honeymoon. See, God promised me a honeymoon. You see, I can go through anything in this world. Anything. I don't care. Like, no, why? Because. Promise. A honeymoon. You understand? A honeymoon. He says, well, we will build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. I shall long enjoy the work of his hands. My life is the work of God's hands. Everything. In and out. Losing everybody, whatever. That was God's way of getting to me. That's how I drew closer to him in that relationship. You know, through those trials and tribulations, which I thank God for. I can look back now and thank God and see where I come from. You know, coming to church and everything and listening to pastors, it's a revelation and it's good. I don't like missing church. But there's something, God don't give you the understanding for everything. You're going to have to go through some stuff. God knows who you are. He knows everything about you. It's like he says right here. He says right here, he knows everything about you. in a guide. Everything, your ins and outs, your comings and your goings, know where you've been, what you've got, where you're going. Now you see, when God gave me this from the guide, He showed me where I've been. He showed me what I got and where I'm going. Nothing else matters. Man, I'm just so ready to get out of here. This is the rapture, guys. And I am so enthused to get out of here. There ain't nothing here. It's all sin, curse, tainted. Nothing. But everything that I would want or whatever anybody want, God promised me I'll get it at the honeymoon. Yeah. And nothing I did for it, He gave it to me. Right. He did. That's why I can let go. Yeah. This is what I mean by, like, I can let go. Yeah. Came to the end of myself. Yeah. Because God promised me a honeymoon. Yeah. That came when I was doing drugs and all that, and I lost my way. You don't think, I didn't think anybody in Revelation would lose their way. In the Revelation. It doesn't mean I forgot the word, no. It's just God has to take me through a process to pull out an attribute. See, we all have attributes, and God has to pull out these attributes, you know? But it's not for this world, it's for the world to come. See, He said, if you suffer for Him, you'll reign. See, I'm gonna reign 1,000 years. Reign with the Lord. For eternity. Anything in this world like me, I don't get up and preach I don't get up and testify because you overcome by the word of your testimony. But me, I got a rest, a true rest of a honeymoon that God promised me. And I couldn't have got that unless God, you know. The trials and tribulations are not to be compared to the glory of God. It just can't. Like, for this, what God gave me in the future home, the millennium, I don't read because I'm not good reading. How can I hear lest it be preached? I can't understand it. I have to go back in time and hear it preached, you know? But let me talk for a bit. God, I never understood why God did things, but I do now. And He's just preparing us for the next world. Where we're going to reign. It's not for this world. I lost my interest in everything in this world. I'm just waiting for God. The only reason why I'm here is to get His people. That's the only reason why I'm here. All that God's given me, all that the Father has given Jesus will come. I'm just here to fulfill the scripture for the day, whatever that may be. But the books and stuff that God gave us, I don't take for light. Like, God got me into reading because can't have an understanding without reading. But see, only God can bring that stuff to me, you know? Because I don't have family. I got family, but we don't talk. We don't have that kind of relationship. We just don't. I've been on my own for so long. I've had to depend on God only for everything. Everything. Even with the drugs and the stuff and all of that. And God still met me. Still did. You know, like, showed me love. Showed me love, and how I could only love Him more because He was there. He was there, got me through the whole thing. It's nothing I did. This thing is a supernatural thing. It really is. The supernatural battle. The battle's not mine. It's God's battle. I have laid my stake in the ground here. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. I know what this is. You know. But for the perfecting of the saints, you know, until we get out of here, you know, be of good courage because, you know, Like Pastor said, when God took the fight with Job, you know, I count it an honor. You know why? Because it shows I'm strong. And Pastor said, you know, it's just because you're strong. It's just to prove that you're strong. And I like that. I like that because then I, you know, it's not by me, but because he's strong. Well, I'm strong. But one thing I want to read what Brother Dwayne read that God gave me, but I didn't put it down. He says, to him that overcome it will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. See what he promised? Grant to sit with him. That's what he told me. Even as I has also overcome. Overcome what? This world. Myself. You know, my ways. Our thoughts ain't his thoughts. My ways ain't his way. It's all yielding to what he wants. You know, it's kind of scary, but it's exciting at the same time. It really is. It's scary because I don't know which way God's going to go. But God's will be done. That's my only prayer. His will. Whatever that may be. Whatever. Because he has preeminence. He got to have preeminence. He has it. I have nothing in this world. This world got nothing. It doesn't turn me on, nothing. I'm just ready to go to the honeymoon. My honeymoon. Your honeymoon. You know what I mean? Your guys' honeymoon. Where I will have my houses, where I will have my loved ones, where I will have those who I've lost, who then still be there. Like, that's a promise. You know what I mean? That's not. But God gave me that through a dark, through a hard time and stuff. And I thank God that he meet me where I'm at. God will meet you where you're at. Even though it seems lost and everything, you know. But God met you, will meet you where you're at because he met me. He met me. You know? Not because I'm smart. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I. No. No. I'm a seed. I'm a seed. Funny, the guys I work with, God gave me a job with these three guys. And one of them's a preacher. The other one's not a preacher. And his dad. Never used to go to church. His dad, I got to talk to him. His name is Matthew. And Matthew was telling me about the seed today. Today he was talking about the seed. And I was like, what do you know about the seed? Really? I was like, what do you know about the seed? What seed? Who seed? God's seed. See, he's ordained, I'm ordained not to fail, no matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. Not in this world. Satan can't touch you without God's permission. And even if God gave him permission to touch you, it's for, even if you already know that God wouldn't let him do anything outside than what he wants him to do. He would not put you in harm's way. He won't. He won't put you into harm's way at all. Like, not me, but maybe because I'm different. Like I said, I'm single. Been to prison. I'm a bad boy. Trying to go good boy. You know? So I kind of learned things all the hard way, but it's all through my circumstances. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it all. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate honesty. Amen. Can't be honest. God can't even deal with you. You know, we look at what God's doing in the body, and it's beautiful. I appreciate it so very much. You know, see my brothers come out. You know, there's something to that. You can't sit back in the shadows on this. There's no second string. You know, you don't get to sit on the bench. All frontline soldiers, you know, we've been told over and over. And everybody has a job, no unemployment here. And, you know, thinking a lot about, you know, the individual you know, and what I was wanting to bring out here just a little bit was the the individual in the body. You know, the body's made up of individuals. You know, and unlike somebody, you know, trying to get everybody together, you know, one person trying to get everybody together, this is that Holy Spirit in you that makes you part of the body. You know, I said before, you know, when you get a new birth, first thing it does, it makes you part of the body. You know, it brings you to a place where you can identify with the body, where you're a blessing to the body. You know, you got the Holy Spirit of God. God don't reject God. God don't, you know, clash with God. God helps God. And when, you know, one brother gets up, speaks his heart, that's God to the body. And it blesses, and it coincides with what else God's doing. You know, it's amazed me last Wednesday and also tonight, you know, how everything is just 1-2, 1-2, you know. And of course, we're all taking what's been preached to us, you know. And the Holy Spirit just bring that out. And he takes it and teaches it to us. You know, it's got to be preached. Faith come by hearing. But then after it's preached, then that Holy Spirit of promise, he'll come and he'll make it real to you. Then he'll show that thing. You know, that's why we go home and we wake up in the morning, or when we do wake up, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, God's dealing with us. He's talking to us. You know, the sons of God, they're led by the Spirit of God. And I was thinking a couple of scriptures here. You know, a thought. You know, the individual being inspired and led by the Holy Spirit, and thereby the body of Christ moves. You know, you look at this. I looked up before how you see these big schools of fish, and how they all move. You know, there ain't nobody leading them. There's not one out in front. You know, they can't even see them if there was. If you're 20 fish thick in the middle, you don't know where that outside going. You know, they try to say, well, it's you know, they can feel the pressure or something like this, but I don't believe that. There's something that God put in them, you know, and it's a type, an example, you know, of what this body moves. We come together, we see us all moving in the same way. You know, the children of Israel, all they had to do was watch Noah. You know, they just sit and watch Noah. Well, where's Noah at? He's moving? Okay, pack up. We're going to move too. You know, they had no inside teacher. You know, he deals with Israel as a body. You know, he just leads them as a body. You know, they take a step, and that's where it goes. But the Gentiles, so we come from all walks of life. We come, and we're still in all walks of life. You know, we don't even, you know, we're different people, different areas. We meet different people. We got different jobs and things. But the Holy Spirit's the same. And when the Holy Spirit, when Brother Moore's up there, he's preaching to the body. He's preaching to the individual. You know, he said it over and over again. You know, God's going to say something different over here than he's going to say to this one over here, to that and over there. As a matter of fact, he's going to say something a little bit different to every one of us. You know, that's just the way he does it. With us Gentiles, anyway. But I was thinking about, you know, David. You know, David down there tending sheep, just a young boy. God dealing with him. The Bible says he sung songs, played the harp to the Lord. He was very accomplished with it. The time Saul called for him, he's a pretty good musician, you know. But that was God dealing with him as an individual. It wasn't his brothers, it wasn't Jesse. God dealing with him. So when God had something else to show him, something to bring him along, increase his face a little bit, when that lion came and that bear came, you know, God dealing with him on that. God getting ready for something a little bit brighter, something a little bit stronger coming up. You know, he's always, each individual, he'll bring us up a little. You know, I can see it in my life. I can see it in you people's lives. I sit here and watch it. I've been here a long time. I see where God has dealt with you. I see where you've obeyed. You've learned obedience through the things you suffer, maybe. But you've obeyed. You've stepped out on the words that comes forth. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we make it hard. So it ain't hard. But we make it hard because we don't want to die. You know, don't ask me how I know that. But, you know, that's how it works. You know, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to all men. Right. Ain't nobody got it harder than somebody else. No. Like your brother said, well, I'm single. You know, well, I'm married. It's a different set of problems is all. Sometimes being single is a blessing. Sometimes being married is a blessing. You know, it's all the way you look at it. But God's got each one of us right where we need to be. And that's the thing we recognize. You know, Brother Morris told us over and over again, he don't have it easy. He struggles as much as anybody, you know. I remember he first started preaching, he'd come to me down the valley. He said, "Brother, am I saying anything? Is it helping anybody?" You know, "Brother, how can you say that?" You know, I mean, it's such a blessing. From day one, he started preaching. You know, I look at him, how God dealt with him as an individual, you know. Of course, he himself, he's thinking, "Oh, that'll never happen, Brother Childers, you know. You talk about when you give it over to me, but that'll never happen." But then when it did happen, you know, he didn't hesitate. He stepped out. God dealt with him. And God dealt with him enough that he knew to step out. I'm not going to come up here and half-step it. And come out here, he grabbed the bull by the horns, and he took off, you know. And each individual, and I see these brothers doing the same thing. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of teaching. You know, we kind of hit and miss here and there. You know, that's to be expected. We all do that. But, you know, I've said before, you know, I'd rather do something and get rebuked and then learn how to do it right than sit back and do nothing. I'd rather ask for forgiveness than, you know, permission to wait around for somebody to try to drag me. I'd rather go ahead and step out there. Something Brother Childers told me a lot. He said, "Don, don't wait. You know, if there's something to do, don't wait. Do it tonight. You know, do it before you go home. Stay a little bit later. Get up early. Get it done. Do it. Do it." You know, and there's something with that diligence. There's something with that, like Brother Dwayne said, he's lean forward. You know, sometimes I sit back on my seat there and don't feel right. I get back on the edge of the seat there. I feel too relaxed. I feel like I'm, you know, taking something lightly. I want to be up on the edge of the seat. I want to hear what's being said. That preacher's talking to me. And I'm there cheering him on. I'm, you know, one man cheering section, whatever. But, you know, I'm. That's God. I've got to have what that man has to say. And these individuals, when they get up here, you know, these brothers that get up there, I want to pull it out. You know, the thing that tickles me and I appreciate so much is when God comes down, bears down a little hard, I love it because he's fixing to do something. He's fixing to move his body a little bit. You know, we're fixing to, the whole body's fixing to move here a little bit, and get a little closer, and get our faith increased, you know, stir us a little bit, you know. And I appreciate that. And that's always been God's way. You know, if Jesus never got past it, learning things by the obedience by things he suffered, I'm sure we'll never get past it either. And, you know, but that's just the flesh. And to tell you the truth, I don't worry a whole lot about the flesh. The Bible says that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. I don't concentrate on the flesh. I don't worry about the flesh. I'm not worried about the devil trying to get something over on me. I'm going to get something over on him. The preacher a few weeks ago, he said, you need to be a devil to the devil. You'll torment him a while. Don't sit there and sit back and just wait for his next blow. Always used to tickle me. You watch these movies sometimes, and they get fighting. And one guy hit him. He'll wait for him to hit him back, you know, and then he'll wait and he'll hit him back. You know, I think, no. Like Brother Morris telling Jeremiah, hit him again, Jeremiah. Hit him again. You get the devil down, just wail in on him. Don't let up. He's not going to let up on you. He gets you down, he'll stomp all over you. Never let you up if he had his way. So, you know, when you get up here, and, you know, these brothers, like something that's mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, you don't just have a little change, you know, and have a phase or something. When God changes you, you stay changed. You make it a point to stay changed because the devil try to change you back. I guarantee you he'll do it. You know, and these brothers getting up, don't wait. Say, well, the next time Brother Moore say, I'm going to move quicker. Well, don't wait for Brother Moore to say it next time. Right. You know, even after Brother Moore cut it off the other day, he said, I don't hear it. Nobody else say nothing. It's too late. You know, if somebody would have got up and interrupted, I'd rather done that and said, I want to throw my hat in on it and ask for forgiveness than to let it go if I really felt led to do it. I'd rather done it that way. Yeah. You know, you need to, like Brother John said, the other day, he said, you need to be reckless with your faith. Yeah. You know, faith's got hair on its chest. Right. Faith strong. Right. You know, and that's the only thing God will accept today. Right. Now, maybe back in Luther's time, you know, they didn't know what was going on. They, you know, showing somebody moving by the inspiration of God, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, they had no clue. Right. Luther didn't come out and say, okay, we're the fifth age, and we got to preach the just shall live by faith, and we don't do anything else. He had no clue. He just moved by the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's how every son of God moves. I remember Brother Childers one time, you know, the ministers were getting up and they had their notes, and, you know, and they get out there and get anointed and everything, and
Then they come back to their notes and just kill the anointing, you know. And he finally, he said, you know, brothers, leave them notes alone. Holy Spirit anointing you and you speaking by inspiration, you leave them notes alone. God's got it then. That's the best thing can happen. You're out of the way. You know, and it's the same thing with these brothers. When you get up, you don't worry about what people think. You don't worry about, you know, what you think. You worry, you say, Lord, you told me to do it. I'm stepping out. I'm not waiting. I'm stepping out on your word. And God will bless that. You know, he always has. You know, when you think about Noah, you know, he preached. You know, the Bible don't say if the family's with him or not. They helped him build the ark, but God didn't talk to them. God didn't talk to his wife. God didn't talk to his son. Didn't talk to his son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws. But God talked to Noah. So he moved with fear. Now, I got the scripture here. Let me read real quick. Hebrews 12:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He recognized it. God spoke to him. He had an obligation. Preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And this is Hebrews 11, you know, talking about faith and everything. Now, we move by faith. We don't see where we're going. John's right. I don't know what this life holds. I have no clue. Satan, you know, Satan is sitting around the corner. But one thing I do know, I walk by faith. And, you know, faith is you don't see it yet. You know, you know, and after a while, you learn to trust him. Like the brother was saying, there's a difference between faith and trust. You know, trust comes after you've, by faith, learned that it's faithful. That you can have faith in it. And next time something comes up, if it's a faithful thing, you don't yet see it, but yet you believe it, then you learn to trust it a little bit more. And you think, well, God come through for me last time, he'll come through for me this time. Now, this is how this works. It's how the walk works. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of him, we learn to trust him more. We learn to have faith. We learn to move out quicker. And I see that's what God's doing with us, with our brothers, you know. And, you know, I was so blessed, especially last week, you know, just seeing the brothers get up and just 1-2, 1-2. And I appreciate that. And the elders standing up, you know, I appreciate John. I appreciate Brother Ted. Appreciate, you know, the different ones that speak up. Appreciate the ones that were quiet, but now they're speaking. And now they're saying a little something. I came through that, and that's hard. It's simply hard. I remember Jeremiah getting up. He was pretty backwards at first. Well, you can't hold him down now. He's pretty bold now. He's ready to step into being a pastor now, whenever the Lord says. But, you know, we learn to walk by faith. We learn to trust him. But that inspiration has got to be in each individual. Each individual. And that's what makes up the body. You know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to fit in with the body and you don't have a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll never do it. It'll never happen. You can never fit in. You wind up just mimicking something somebody else does. And that won't work. And the body knows right away. You know, and when you know, I was in third grade, they used to have this saying, takes one to know one. You know, after somebody insults you, get them back. Takes one to know one. But around here, it really does. And the body, the bride knows you. You know, the bride sees you. You know, it sees your effort, sees your dedication, sees that your love for the truth. You can't hide it. Not around the bride. The bride, discernment, fully discernment. And like Brother Childers said one time, he said, you know, 90% of discernment is just common sense. We can see pretty clearly what you do with the Word of God. When you're stepping out of the Word of God, you're holding the Word of God, or you're leaning to your own understanding. We see that pretty quick and easy. You know, that's just good common sense. But when that individual revelation strikes you, and you begin, you know, and we see, you know, again, tickles, but some, you see the ones that begin their walk, and there's a lot of worry. There's a lot of fretting, you know. Oh, should I be like that, you know. They're born again. They already recognize their name's message. They've been here for a while, but they still worry. Satan's still tossing them in that. But they watch the body, and they watch how others do it. You know, and they watch really the honesty of the others. You know, my wife was saying something today, you know, about talking to one of our daughters about the honesty of Brother Moore. You know, they went out, tried some other churches, couldn't stand it. Hypocrisy, dishonesty, and everything. And my wife came back and said, that's the thing I really like about Brother Moore. He's honest. He's honest. He don't put himself up on some high pedestal, you know. He's outside of the office, he's just common as can be, you know. And that's the way he should be. And by the same token, the ones that are common as can be, we have a revelation. And we can't sit quiet. We can't take down. We got to speak boldly. Especially the Lord's bringing it, you know, and we see others stepping up, you know, and we encourage one another that way. It's not we're trying to pattern after anybody, but, you know, after a while you sit and look at these others stepping out and you think, hey, I've got a revelation too. Maybe I should begin to speak. Maybe I should just throw my hat, and, you know, in on it. But we look at different ones, you know, David coming up, you know, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, you know, till he come to the place where he stepped out. You know, he come and he seen what his brethren were doing with that giant, you know. And by that time, he wasn't worried about what frame that the devil came in, you know. He done defeated him. He'd stood on the word of God, and it didn't matter what the devil brought. You know, and I think his bride's coming to that place now. It don't matter what of these 200 million demons, what excuses you bring. You know, we're settled. You know, we're grounded in this truth. But when he come up here and he seen it, he couldn't help but say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I dare defy the armies of the living God. You know, he's really telling him, don't you know who you are? Don't you know what? You're serving God. You're God's army. You're God's people. And you're sitting there afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine? My goodness, you know, he couldn't understand it. But God had dealt with him. He knew better than that. God dealt with him enough. Sometimes it's good to be by yourself. Sometimes it's good to find a quiet place and let God deal with you. Other times it's good to get with the body. Sometimes you need to get with the body. See what the body's doing. You know, you got to rightly divide this individual thing and the body thing. As an individual, makes part of the body, but you're part of the body now. You know, you're no longer an individual. You know, you're not some special case sitting over here. You're part of the body. You reap what the body reaps, and you know, you suffer with what the body suffers. You rejoice in what the body rejoices. And when that word comes forth, that's directly to you. Yeah. You know, this rebuke come a couple weeks ago, that was directly to me. Yeah, right. Directly to me. Right. You know, because it's easy to take a back seat. You know, I think a lot about Brother Childers and what he says. And he always pressed the battle. He always had a strong confession. He always said, I'm a strong man. Yeah. You know, and the reason he did this is because he wanted to be a strong man. Speaking by faith, stepping out by faith, you know. When you make your confession, you live by it. You know, Brother Branham said, the early church, they made their confession. The early apostles made their confession. And then they walked out and lived by it. And, you know, when you make a confession, you obligate yourself. You know, when you get up here and you say, I'm a strong man, you obligate yourself. First of all, the devil's going to make you prove it, if he can at all. And then you put that expectation on everybody else. He said he's a strong man. So I'm expecting him to be strong. You know, you don't come out here and say you're a strong man and you cower back somewhere. You come out and you say you're strong, you'd be countered with one of the soldiers of this place, then you know, you step out on that. You don't you obligate yourself. And we've got to do that. You don't take a back seat. You know, if ever a time, you don't take a back seat. We see the end from the beginning. We see all the way back. We see what he's done. We see that what he's done is finished. Yeah. So, you know, for us to sit back and worry about anything, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. You know, Satan's over here in some shadow somewhere. He can't even get here in the light. I'm surrounded by light. He can't even get here. He's got no place to get. All he can do is try to coax me over there somewhere. And if I fall for something the devil's done, I've walked over there in the shadow. Right. I have to do it. Because he can't even reach me. I'm untouchable. Right. You know, Brother Bram said, we're an invincible army. Amen. You know, that's what this bride is. This bride's ordained to go up, not go down. Amen. She's not ordained to fall. Right. This bride's ordained to keep going up, 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 until we get on out of here. Amen. And, you know, we have a job to do here. You know, I always get a little bit leery about people say, well, I'm tired of the world. You know, I just want out. I just want. That's not where God's at. God's right here now in this world. Jesus prayed, I don't pray you take them out of the world. I pray you keep them in the world. So we've got an overcoming every single day of our life. Every single day of our life. Every one of us. Nobody's got harder than the other. You got an overcomer. There's going to be something that's going to challenge you today, something going to challenge you tomorrow, and you got to face up to it. You as an individual. It's not you and anybody else. It's you and God facing that challenge you have in your life. And that's the individual walk I'm talking about. And that's what makes up the body. That challenge that you face, that, you know, that overcoming, that faith, you know, that walk that you have. That's what I feed off of. That's what the body feeds off of. And I can't do without what you have, you know, because that makes up part of the body. And when you're not here, the body suffers. And you got to know that. When I'm not here, the body suffers. You know, and when I was in, you know, on vacation there a couple weeks ago, the body's suffering because I wasn't here, you know. And I know that. It's not that I'm trying to exalt myself or anything like that, but I know how the body is made up. I know how each individual is so important to the body. I need your testimony. I need your song. I need your piano playing. I need everything you have to offer. I need that. It makes up the body. And that's how the body moves. It's just like these men of old. Back in Peter, 2 Peter 1 and 2. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, this, they made up their part of the body, so to speak. And there's an Old Testament body, you know, you realize that. And these Old Testament saints, they made up that Old Testament body. You know, and they brought their part, inspired of God. And you see these prophets by themselves, totally by themselves. You know, they come in, they make their prophecy, God laid it on their heart, and, you know, it did what God intended it to do. And then they went and hid, and, you know, the Holy Spirit left them. And, you know, wanted the Lord to take them. They just couldn't take it. But, you know, but they did their part. And it was by the inspiration of God that they did it. And that inspiration has got to strike us each one. And without that inspiration, we don't have a body. Without your inspiration, we don't have a body. You know, everyone is just as important. Your inspiration is as much important as the pastor and what he speaks on Sunday morning. Now, rightly divide what I'm saying, you know. But, you know, as far as being a body minister, you know, and how this works, you know, it's just, you know, the only difference is just the office. The only difference is the leadership. You know, and some are leaders, some follow, some are young, some are old, some got more to say, some maybe not enough to say or as much to say, but you got something to say. Everybody's got something to say. My wife's got something to say. She's the quietest one in here. I said, you going to testify today? I said, never know. I said, well, we'll find out. And, she's quiet. She's terribly quiet. But the body needs her testimony. You know, I saw this cartoon one time. Kind of funny. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's called Horton Hears a Who. And there's this world on this little speck of dust. You know, and it's floating around. The only one heard it was Horton. He was an elephant. Had great big ears. He heard it. And they'd better lock poor Horton up because they thought he was crazy. There ain't no world on that little speck of dust, you know. And so he got that little speck of dust to all start screaming, all start yelling, top their lungs, we're here, we're here, we're here, you know. And they couldn't quite hear. And there was one little girl that wasn't saying nothing. She's being quiet, this little girl, little Cindy Lou Who. And she wasn't saying anything. And all of a sudden she let out a little peep. And it broke through that veil. And all of a sudden the whole town heard it. And by that they knew Horton. You know, I always like the type of it because God needs your voice. You know, the Spirit of the bride said, come. If you're part of the bride, you got a voice. The voice is in the bride, you're part of the bride, therefore you got a voice. And, you know, Ted's right. He brings it up an awful lot, you know, and he's right every time. You need that voice. You got to speak it. You know, it's been, spoken word has been original since the beginning. And in Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Each individual is led by God. And that's where each one has to catch that fellowship with Him. You know, when I first come through my struggles, working out my own salvation, fear and trembling, you know, I'd hear people say, well, you got to catch the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I said, how in the world do you catch that? How in the world do you, you know, what is that? You know, I don't hear voices. I don't, you know. And you look at it carnally. But after a while, you find out it's by faith. You find out it's, you know, you take the word of God. He says, when you come before the people, don't take no thought. And you step out on that, and he'll bless that. You know, and the thing is, when he gives you something to say, you know, I've always said, Lord, you lay something on my heart, and I'll say it. I'll say it. You know, because if it's on my heart, my brother Childers, and Brother Moore, and everybody's always said, if God's dealing with you on something, he's really dealing with somebody else on the same thing. You know, this is how God works. You know, like I say, no temptation taken, but it's such a common, you know, everybody has common temptation, common, you know, problems we go through, you know, in marriage or single or, you know, young adult, child, you know, and as a parent, you know, it's called life. and we go through it all. But I see Brother Childers stepping out by inspiration. He always spoke by inspiration. You know, when he's sitting on the seat, inspiration struck him, he spoke. And it blessed the body. And we should take note. You know, he's no different than anybody else. You know, he wasn't getting up and preaching a message. Inspiration struck him. He had somewhat to say. You know, he talked about his dad. He said he would get up. He'd say, Earl, I want to read the scripture. And he'd get up and just read the scripture and bless the body. You know, it's how God dealt with him. And he also talked about him. You know, it meant something to Brother Childers. He was talking to Brother Childers, why he repeated it all the time. And he said he'd go down through the field just talking to God like he's right beside him. It's because he is. It's because he was. Right in you. And never a time that I can't talk to God. You know, and that's humbling as can be. And I know it's him because it's the word. And it's something that's spurring me on. It's something that's encouraging me. It's something that's talking to me. You know, but it's by faith. It's by faith. Now it's by trust. But start out by faith. And now, Lord, you got to talk to me as an individual. I hear you talking to all these other people, say you're talking to them, you know, and everything. And I'm not talking about lifted ears, you know, in the body. I know that is so, but that inside teacher is what I'm talking about. You know, when he takes a mind and shows it unto you, that's what I'm talking about. When he keeps that thing stirred, nobody else around but you. You know, just you and God. Now that's a special time. That's a time the only believer has. Other people talk about it, you know. They're caught up in their imagination and everything. As it shows, when they spit it out, it ain't the word. Oh, God told me, you know, they say, no, it don't match the word. God didn't tell you that. You know, we know that. We know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. We know it because we know the word. You know, we know how God talks to us. We know what he's looking for, and what he'll anoint, what he'll ride in on. He only rides in on his word. And it's a mighty, wonderful, precious thing, that individual walk with God. You know, that's what I see more and more. In the body. That's what I've seen in my own life. Let me just talk about me. You know, there was a time when it wasn't as real as it is now. There was a time when I hoped so. I thought maybe so. I thought, well, you know, someday. But I don't like anything today. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's real to me. And that's amidst all my problems and all my fears and all my flesh. All the devil's whispering and all the screaming he does from the shadows over there. And some of it sounds pretty good. Some of it's almost convincing. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, but there's one part in that where he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. If you've never read it, it's a very good read. Brother Bram talked a lot about it. But he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's dark. He couldn't see where to put one foot in front of the other. And he felt there was a great cliff on both sides, and he was walking such a narrow ledge, and the devil would rush in on him and say, oh, speaking blasphemies and, you know, against God and so much, and he tormented him so much he almost thought that he spoke it, you know, and the fear and the anguish that he had through that. And Satan will do that. He's got 200 million demons. Don't think it's just lying and cheating and, you know, committing adultery and drinking and smoking, you know, there's a whole lot more. Whole lot more. And he's very subtle. Very subtle with you. If you're young, it doesn't take a whole lot. If you're older, he doubles up on you, triples up on you. He'll throw a whole army at you. But, you know, you've got to have, you know, we talk about the battle of the mind, the greatest battle ever fought. The one thing I found that helps is you have a made up mind. You have your mind settled before the devil comes. You know, and don't leave a question. Don't leave a question. You see the word of God, you settle it. Never a question again. You know, when God comes to you, talks to you, reveals something to you, don't ever let it go. Don't ever take back. Paul said, we're not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe unto the saving of the soul. And John quoted that scripture, you know, the sufferings of this present world, not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, so I'm too close home. Brother Childers always say, I see the lights of the city. I make the rest way, stand on my head. I'm a strong man. You will find somebody that loves the Word, that has a revelation of the Word, more than me. You want to see God, look right here. I don't have a coat on right now, but you want to see God, look right here. You know, and there's a revelation to everything. You know, I'm not the God that keeps the planets in orbit. I'm not the God that brought the children out, you know, of Egypt. But I'm the God that's recognized my damnest message. I'm the God that's going to get the dead out. You know, this is my understanding. This is my revelation. This is my part of God that I will manifest. He's a vast God. Don't put him in one individual. Don't put him even in the body. You know, he's doing things in the body. He was doing things in Christ, but he didn't do everything in Christ. He was doing things in all the prophets, but he wasn't doing everything in any of the prophets. Vast, mighty God. You know, and to think that he chose me, and to think that his grace reached me, and to think that he'd come, never leave, never forsake me. That should humble you. But don't, you ain't looking at it right. You know, I often said, you know, you see people here, and, you know, in times past, not here, but in times past, you've seen a lot of people, me and Brother Moore kind of look at each other and say, now, you know that person doesn't understand the grace of God to him. There's no way. He's not giving grace to somebody else. If you understand the grace that God's given to me, if I understand that,
right.
Y'all good. Y'all real good. I have no trouble having grace for you. So you won't throw me. You won't throw me. You won't get me to stop loving you. You know, that one example that Brother Branham, the little vision he had, or maybe it was a vision somebody else had, but seeing Jesus going up that mountain, that great big pack on his back, bigger than Jesus was, you know. He was hauling that up, you know, he's chugging that up the hill, you know. And Jesus, is that the sins of the whole world? I look at things in my life that I'll probably never get over. You know, I'm done talking about fears and problems and shortcomings and faults. I won't give it the time of day. It's already taken care of. I work on what I can work on. God gives me grace through it all. I don't go out here and you know, try to stir up trouble. You know, it means something to me to walk upright. It means something to me. Righteous man. It means something to me to hold my head up and throw my shoulders back and say, I've tried. You know, they tried to condemn Brother Childers there one time, you know. They all over him, you know, oh, you don't have love. You won't draw the circle bigger, you know, and this and that and the other. You're guilty of this, guilty of that. You know, he said, I'm guilty, you know, but I've tried and I've tried. Give me 2 minutes, I'll repent, and I'll make it right. He said, but, you know, a believer, one thing about a believer, he leans into it. You know, he's here. You know, he talked about Brother Shields so much, but he meant so much to me. I watched him so close. Worked with him day and night, you know. But he'd get annoyed, he'd lean in. You see his eyebrows come down, you see his fist ball up. Lean into it. Give it his all. And I want to see us do that. Every one of us. Don't take a back seat for the devil. Don't give him time of day. Don't come in here and talk about the devil. I can only take so much. Talk about what God's done for you.
Amen.
We know the devil's, you know, we know what he can do. We're all familiar with his tricks and his junk. But, you know, we're here to overcome. It's an overcoming age. If anybody can overcome, this bride can overcome. This bride is ordained to overcome. We don't fear the devil. The devil's not even a threat to us. Not even a threat. Not even a good adversary. We so got his number. We see him come a mile away. You know, if a man's a good fighter, good martial artist, you know, one art form might be better than the other, but in some ways they all do good. But where a man does better is he's familiar with enough that he can anticipate his opponent's move. That's where he can get ahead of it. And we're so good at this. Brother Childress has said, you like putting your pants on. I whip the devil every day like putting my pants on. He comes to me in the morning. I go right back to him. I quote scripture to him. I put him in his place. See, it's good to have scriptures under your belt. It's good to have a few bullets in your gospel gun, you know, to fire at him. Because the Bible says, you know, submit yourself unto God. You know, sometimes we don't say that full scripture, but it says submit yourself unto God first. Then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, we've got to have an arsenal. We've got to have a few things in our toolbox. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we get those things. We become a pretty worthy adversary for him. You know, Brother Brandon talked about, you know, when he touched that bride, he gets all that bride. He's got 10,000 volts. He feels that. You know, like the scripture says, you know, Paul I know, Jesus I know. You know, he knew that. He got a hold of them before. He got his fill with them. But when an unbeliever comes up here and just tries to mimic it, he's not afraid of that. But he is afraid of the bride. You know, the devil can't do nothing unless the Lord lets him. You know, if you got a temptation, if you got a problem, it's because God allowed it. You know, he's counted you worthy. You know, just like Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? You know, when he put something on me, I can just see the Lord looking to Satan. Consider my servant. Brother Don, how there's none like him in all the earth. I think all you're boasting. I boast in God. You know, there's a little boasting in this. You know, they thought Brother Childress was quite boastful. But he boasted in the Lord. They accused him of being exalted. He said, I'm the most humble man you ever seen. And while he's rebuking the socks off of him, he's saying, I'm the most humble man because I'm humble to the Word. And I won't take down to the Word. But humble to the devil, I'll never. I'll be bold to him. I get out in this mustache. I'll work him over. But you know, we have that today. The bride has it today. We have all we need. Don't think you're slack. You got all you need. The Lord calls you to do something, you just step on to it. He'll provide. You know, if Uncle Sam won't send an army out unprepared, then I'm sure God will not. You know, the song says God will only use a soldier he can trust. So if he sends you into the battle, he's already equipped you. He's already given you everything you need. Don't take down. He just said, where's he at? Come out of that upper room and say, where is Rabbi Jones? Paul or Peter might have went up there hiding 120. But when they come out, they weren't hiding. They had a boldness about them. And this bride's been to the upper room. This bride knows what she's talking about. She knows what it is. You know, that prophet has told us that. You know, we know what it is. You say, well, I don't need to, but I don't think I do, but start acting like it. Start confessing it. Start believing it. You know, you overcome by your testimony. You overcome by your confession. You know, you make your confession first, then live by it. You know, when you speak bold, when you say I'm a strong man, you know, just say it. Because that's what today's calling for. You know, we're looking for a rapture. We're believing for a rapture. I'm so ready to go home. I'm not, there's nothing I can't leave here. I don't care what. I might have some things in the works. I can leave it. I got a garden planted. I can leave it. I never have to harvest those sweet potatoes. The devil can have the rest of my onions. And when the beans come on, he can have them. I'll go home. You know, and I mean that with all the lies we have. There was a time I couldn't say that. But today I mean that. And you know why I mean that more now? Because I've been confessing. Because I start stepping out on His Word. You know, I start, identifying with what the Word of God is, with what the Word's calling for today. It's calling for a rapture. It's calling for, I think that's Brother John's. Amen. Well, I thank God for this body. I thank God for truth. And that's my little bit. But my point is that individual walk, nothing greater than that. Because that's the only thing I have anything to do with. I can't control what you do. I don't know anything about your walk with God. I see, you know, what comes out of your mouth. I see what you do. But the thing I have control over, the thing that I have something to do with, the thing I can work out with fear and trembling, the thing I can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, it's just my walk. And that individual walk is so important, because without an individual, you don't have a body, you know. And I think, you know, more and more that's what God's calling for. That's what I believe it is. And I see these quiet ones step up more and more. But that should mean something to you. You got to start somewhere. You know, there's the first time everybody dives into the water. You see somebody out there enjoying it and everything, you know, a little scared. Well, just plunge on into the deep, you know. Brother Childers said, don't stay around the shore. Kick your toenails off. Get out where it's deep. Get out where you can swim. Get out where you can do some good, where you can enjoy it, where you can trust God. You know, it takes a little faith to dive into a deep body of water over your head. I got a little granddaughter. You know, she's only about that big, and the water is about this deep. And she'll get on that ladder and just dive out in there. Got her goggles on, and she'll turn around, swim right back, and she'll dive right out again. You know, she's worked up to that. She didn't always do that. She worked up to that. And realize and recognize, you know, this is a progressive thing. Everybody has a progressive walk with Him. But the more you trust Him, the more you stay strictly with His Word, the faster you grow. You know, the devil holds you back in unbelief. And true enough, if you stay in unbelief, you stay back, you know, where you're holding back, where you're not stepping out of the Word quickly. You know, Brother Bram said the bride will turn quickly. It should mean something to us, you know. I can see why Brother Moore was disappointed when he was rebuking. He was almost wanting to do more, but he thought, can't force him, you know. But he said it's so plain and so strong, and we didn't step up, we didn't speak up again, you know. But at least we did on the outside. I think about bombarded. Jeremiah out there, but you know, we do what we can. We do what we have faith to do, and we say, Lord, increase my faith. You know, I believe, but help out my unbelief. You know, and if there's another day, I'll believe in more tomorrow. If there's another day, I'll be more bold tomorrow. If there's another day, I'll be more humbled before Him tomorrow, and I'll serve Him greater tomorrow. So that's my life. That's my walk. You know, I've been running just a little bit lately. Getting ready for this tough mutter next week. And but you know, if you stand straight up, if you never lean forward, you can't run. You run in place maybe, but you gotta lean forward. And then you might take a step. But to run, you gotta lean forward and keep leaning forward. You know, you watch a runner, you watch Elise run, she's leaning forward the whole time. You know, she's keeping that momentum up. She's keeping that, you know, you gotta use it that way. And when we start with serving God, you know, don't just take a step, you know, lean forward. You know, Paul said, run this race with patience. You know, that was his day. Our day, it's sprint. Sprint. You see the finish line. My coach always told me in high school, you don't even think about stopping until you're 5 yards beyond the finish line. Or you'll start letting up beforehand. Don't stop. Brother Childers told me all the time, said, Don, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. It speaks to me all the time, you know. I know what Brother Parnell was saying when he come here, you know. Brother Baker told him, Don, you're not a pastor. And he spoke to him the whole time he's trying to be a pastor. That's saying something. I appreciate him saying that. That took a lot to admit that. Because really, he's admitting, I was wrong. I was wrong. Should never try to be a pastor. And God can deal with an honest heart. God loves an honest heart. Amen.
Amen. Another good evening. Enjoyed your brothers. Appreciate your brothers. Brother Destin's is absolutely right. This is God deals with the Israel as a group, but Gentiles, he comes and gives you a new birth as an individual. And you become part of a body, but this is a personal walk. And, you know, we all are going to come from different backgrounds. We all have different ways that God deals with us. You know, I always think about preaching, you know. We'll get on a topic, but, you know, no matter whichever preacher gets up there, we'll preach the same thing, but we'll bring from different angles. Because that's God using that different gift or using a different way. God has not made one snowflake alike, one star alike. He's a God of variety. And that's absolutely what he wants. And you got to trust him in your life. And, you know, we've heard it said here before, I wouldn't trade my shoes for anybody else's. There was a time you thought, well, if I could just be like so-and-so. But, you know, it needs to get to a point for you where you can say, I'm exactly fearfully, wonderfully made, and I'm exactly where God wants me. And I like how you said it. It's so true. You know, before you can trust God, you got to believe God's real. So you get faith first, and then you start trusting God, like Brother Destin said. And we do got to trust God. God knows what he's doing. And the more that you serve God, the more you see that, and the more it's easy for you to say, God knows what he's doing. And enjoy each brother and comfort one another with these words. That is so true. And, you know, I had never looked up how many promises in there, but I do believe there's 5,000 to 8,000. And Brother Branham said, that has been purchased for us. Amen. Jesus paid the price for every bit of that. Right. Oh, that ought to excite us. Amen. And God does keep his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word. Amen. And, you know, and what Brother Branham said about that heaven and earth was that it's passing from one form to another, because the earth is eternal, heaven is eternal. But what God's going to do is he's going to wipe this world cosmos out, and is going to bring heaven down to earth. He's got to clean off the pollution in the heavens. He's got to clean off this earth. And we're going to be living on forever. And we can look forward to a millennium, Brother John, where we are going to inhabit a house, and nobody's going to take it from us. And the lion will lay down with the lamb, and that's going to be our honeymoon. I'm going to enjoy that wedding supper. I'm going to enjoy that millennium. And you know what? I got another good news for you. There's going to come a day when the devil's not even around. New heaven and new earth will live forever. This is in the Word, and God will bring every bit of that to pass, just like he's taking care of everything else. So we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It thrilled me, and I appreciate it. So come on, musicians. And practice tomorrow and come back Sunday. Lord willing, Brother Moore, our pastor, will be back in town. And that will be wonderful. So we're glad and miss people when they're gone. Brother David, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to thank God for this place and for the messages tonight. You brothers brought it. Right. I'm trying to be like that, trying to just get out the way, but I'll do my part. And, you know, this thing is real, you know. It's just God is real, and I just thank God for this message because he keeps me here, and he keeps me at a, I can't think right now, but, you know, he's real.
He keeps you at peace and keeps us, yes, keeps you on the right path.
Yes, sir. Amen. I just, so much to say. I just thank God he's real. To know who we are, to know who we're going, you know, it's everything, and it's my life, and I really appreciate that, and I love God for that, and I'm not going nowhere because I love this thing, and it's so funny. In your mind, it goes, but as soon as you get up here, you just forget everything. But I love y'all. Y'all know, amen.
Love you too right there. Amen. Page 7, ain't God good? Give G. Ain't God good?
He gives us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Yes, ain't God good? He's given us so many blessings, undeserved. We are.
one, three.